Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 6, verses 43 to 47. John chapter 6, verses 43 to 47. And keep in mind the subject of our text today. The Father draws them. The Father draws them. Let's begin reading with John chapter 6, verse 43. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Now the part of this passage that seems to cause problem for people from time to time is this passage here that says, No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So that's why we want to spend some time today going through and looking for an explanation from the Bible about what that means. Look in verse 37, look in verse 44, and look at verse 65, and you'll see three verses in this chapter that work together that seem to need a little explanation. Verse 37, All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Verse 44, No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 65, And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. So there seems to be this misunderstanding about what's going on when the Father gives Jesus Christ a soul, or draws a soul to Jesus Christ, or except it were given unto him of my Father. You know, this particular passage of Scripture almost seems Calvinistic if you look at it, Calvinism being the doctrine that no man can get saved unless God saves him before he believes. In other words, a man is so reprobate in his soul and in his spirit and in his life that he is a depraved human being, total depravity. God hits him in the head with irresistible grace, and gives him an atonement which is limited only to those that God has already chosen before the foundation of the world that he would save by an unconditional election. It was nothing on the part of the man that caused God to want to save him. And then gives him a salvation and gives him the ability to persevere until he dies so that he'll be with God forever. And that's a very brief explanation and sort of the gist of this Calvinism. And when you read these verses, it seems to kind of lend that way. But notice, this is not a limited atonement that's even discussed here in the passage. There's no discussion of it anywhere in John chapter 6, although these three verses show up in John chapter 6. As a matter of fact, verse 40, right in the middle of the context, says, This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So particularly, Jesus Christ is speaking about people that see him during his earthly ministry. He said, This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, I will raise him up at the last day. So in the whole context of the chapter, first of all, we're seeing that the will of God is for everybody and not just for a limited group chosen before the foundation of the world. Secondly, we see that in this context, Jesus Christ has been talking to this group of people the whole time about believing on him, and he's given them the miracle of feeding the 5,000 in order to get them to believe on him, and they haven't believed. He said in verse 36, I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. So in the whole text and the context of chapter 6, these verses are going to make perfect sense. The drawing and the giving has to do with them believing the words of God. Has to do with them believing the words of God. And they're not believing. They're not believing Jesus Christ. The Father was drawing them right there, right then, and they wouldn't respond. Now watch the whole thing as it transpires so that you'll understand what's going on here. First of all, don't forget that before the feeding of the 5,000, the kingdom of God was preached. Let's look at some passages now. Remember, the feeding of the 5,000 shows up in all four Gospels, and John doesn't tell you everything that was going on that day. We saw that earlier in the week when we studied the historical application of these verses. Now look in Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. Well, who's the shepherd? Jesus Christ. And he wanted them to have a shepherd. He wanted them to believe. So what did he do? He began to teach them many things. Well, what did he teach them about? Look in Luke chapter 9 at verse 11. What did he teach them about? Luke chapter 9, verse 11. The people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them what? He spake unto them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. Well, right now, when you listen to this broadcast, we are speaking unto you of the kingdom of God. And everywhere it shows up in all the verses we've handled from Isaiah and Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Romans, and now John, we speak to you of the kingdom of God. That's what the Lord was doing. He was teaching them many things concerning the kingdom of God. Why? Well, look in Romans chapter 10. Paul will tell you why. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, when Jesus Christ had the opportunity to talk to the woman at the well, he wasn't talking to her about bread like he was to this group. He was talking to her about water. But nonetheless, he was using her work, for the time she was spending to get the water, the circumstances of the meeting, to talk to her about him being the living water. And she believed him. He talked to these Jews about him being the bread of life because he had just fed them. And he talked to them about believing him. Why? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And watch what goes from there. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So belief is necessary before calling. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Hearing is necessary before believing. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Preaching is necessary before the hearing. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. See the problem? They all heard it, but they hadn't all obeyed it. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now notice in Acts chapter 8 what was going on. We're talking today about the Father drawing them. The verse that says, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up to the last day. And what God uses to draw men is preaching. The preacher is sent. The preacher preaches, they hear, from the hearing they believe, from the believing they call, and when they call they're saved, but they don't all obey the gospel. Look in Acts chapter 8. The Ethiopian eunuch has been at a feast. He's on his way back to Ethiopia in a chariot. Philip is instructed to go join himself to the chariot. When he gets there, he finds the man reading out of the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked him in Acts chapter 8, verse 30, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So Philip began to preach to him Jesus, verse 35 says, and God used that to draw the Ethiopian eunuch, who, when he heard the preaching of Jesus, believed and therefore was baptized. Look at Acts chapter 10. Cornelius was a man of prayer, a devout man, a man of fasting, a man of almsgiving. The trouble was he wasn't saved, but he had done enough like that so that God wanted him to hear the preaching of the gospel. And he said to Cornelius, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And when Cornelius explains why he sent for Peter, he said in verse 31 of Acts chapter 10, he told Peter what happened. He said, God said to me, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Now Jesus told his audience, he said, God tells me what to say, I tell you, I do all things that I'm commanded to do. And he said that in so many words. So he's telling them what they need to hear about the kingdom of God, about Jesus Christ being sent to save them, to give them eternal life. And the Father was using that to draw this group of people. Man, he drew him with the miracle of healing the people. He drew them with the feeding of the 5,000. They came after him the next day. The Father had already drawn them. All they needed to do was believe Jesus Christ, but they wouldn't do it. Now, so the first thing in drawing them, in giving them, was preaching the kingdom of God. That was done here. The second thing is that while the preaching is going on, they must hear. Duh. If you're driving down the road and you have your selection of radio stations to listen to, you could listen to anything on the AM station. You could listen to anything on the FM station. You can hear rock and roll. You can hear country. You can hear jazz. You can hear classical. You can hear news. You can hear talk radio. You can hear sports. You can hear Christian preaching and other things. You have your choice. So while you're running through the stations at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you happen to come across the broadcast of the Unknown Bible, which you're hearing right now. And God compels your heart for just a minute to stop and listen to this crazy preacher. You think to yourself, you know, I don't want to listen to that junk. I want to listen to some music. And so you flip it off. You know what's happened? For a brief moment, you heard the kingdom of God preached, in which it was told you that you had to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be saved. And rather than sit and listen to that, you decided to flip that off and go listen to something else. You know what you've done? You've chosen not to hear the preaching. And there are people who can sit in church and they can choose not to hear the preaching. I was talking to a young fellow the other day, and I preached on a particular subject that he wasn't interested in for whatever reason. I think I know why, but he didn't explain why. My guess is that it had something to do with something that God wanted him to change, and he didn't want to change it. But nonetheless, he told me later, he said, you know, as soon as you introduced your text and made the first point, I turned you off and didn't listen to the rest of the preaching. And in fact, he couldn't tell me anything that I preached the next day. You know what happened? He didn't listen. Now, I only say that as an illustration to you. I'd not use that as an opportunity to talk to him. We've already visited about it, but it's kind of a funny thing. It illustrates something. It illustrates this. It is possible for you to sit underneath the preaching of the Word of God in the church service with everybody else paying attention and your mind to wander right out of the room and not hear a single thing that the preacher said. I'm listening on cassette right now to a book about World War I. Very interesting book. But there are times that I find that I have to rewind the tape a short distance in order to hear more clearly something that I'm not sure that I understood. And mainly the reason is that temporarily I had a distraction. My mind began to wander off on something else that the author had said, or my eyes picked up something in the road that I needed to pay attention to, and my mind shut off hearing the book so that I wasn't able to pay attention to it. Whatever the reason, an imagination, a visual distraction, an auditory distraction, whatever it might be, there are all kind of things that would keep a person from hearing the words of God. In this case, the present audience chose not to believe the things that were spoken of the kingdom of God, and so they were not able to hear what Jesus was saying. He kept telling them, I can give you eternal life. I'm the bread of life. And all they wanted to hear was, how are you going to feed our gut? Now, here's the deal. Matthew chapter 13. Here's what's going on. Matthew chapter 13, verse 14. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. See, they were hearing him, but they weren't understanding. And seeing ye shall see. They were looking right there at Jesus Christ. He said, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. I'll raise him up at the last day. They were looking right there at Jesus, but they weren't able to perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Why? Because the will of God was that if they would hear, would see, and would understand with their heart, then God would save them. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, Jesus said. They wouldn't do it. He said, but to the disciples, he said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Go a little further. Look in Mark chapter 4. What's going on here? Mark chapter 4, verse 23. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And they weren't hearing. You know, have you ever talked to somebody and they're not on the same wavelength, and they're not getting what you're saying? You'll look at them, and you know what you'll say? You're not hearing me. Mothers are real good about telling that to their children. You're not hearing me. I'm saying something, but it's not communicating to you. You're not getting the point. Jesus said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. He said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, that's to measure a thing, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. So the oracles of God were given to the Jews. They had all that Old Testament, and they weren't hearing what God was talking about. They started doing all the commandments, and they set up all their rituals in the commandments. But the whole purpose of the commandments was to get them to love God, which they did not do. Then God, who loved his Son, sent his Son for them people to hear, and to hear, and to see, and to understand, and to perceive, and to get saved, and to love. And they wouldn't do it. They were blinded by their own desire to build their self-righteousness and fulfilling the commandments to the best of their ability, which they couldn't do. So Jesus used the feeding of the 5,000 to give them a sign, but when he preached eternal life, they wouldn't believe. Look what he said in verse 36. I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. But he promised them eternal life, and the Father will not give eternal life unless they believe. Remember what he said back here in John chapter 3? He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So what do you have then? In what Jesus Christ is telling them, that is, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. First, they have to hear the preaching of the kingdom of God, which was being preached. Not only that, not only is it got to be preached, they have to hear it. That is, they've got to, what do they say, tune into it and listen to what he's saying. But not only that, they've got to believe what they are taught. They have to believe what they're taught. Look at verse 45 in the same passage that we're studying today. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So the words have gone out all over the world, but people are disobedient and will not respond to them, particularly this group that Jesus Christ was preaching to. So when somebody says, you know, the Father has to draw them, I've heard people tell me, I just don't have the feeling right now. But when God draws me, then I'll know that it's time for me to get saved. They've misunderstood and misinterpreted the verse. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Somebody put in your head that you got to feel some sort of a tug on your heart, and then you'll know it's time. Let me tell you something. Paul said, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Your problem is you're waiting for some emotional response, some sign from heaven, some tug on the heart. And the truth of the matter is all you got to do is believe what you've been taught. Because the words have already gone out all over the world. Everybody already knows all they need to know in order to be saved. They're just not responding. Look again in Romans chapter 10 at verse 18. Have they not heard? Yea, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But what was the problem? Well, Israel's problem was, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. That was the problem, and that's the problem with the rest of the world. You say, well, I know places in the world where the kingdom of God hadn't been preached by the words of God. Well, then you don't know your Bible. Because Romans chapter 10 said it's gone out all over the world. Psalm 19:7, the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he hath set a tabernacle for the sun. You just don't believe that. Romans chapter 1 showed you how God effected it, which we studied back when we were studying the book of Romans. God showed you how it was done. He said the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. But when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. What happened? They changed the truth of God into a lie. So that's what was going on here. In verses 64 and 65 of John chapter 6, he said, there are some of you that believe not. Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. So the gift is based upon you believing what you're hearing and what God has taught you through the words of God. You see, what Jesus Christ did here is he preached the kingdom of God. They were listening, but they weren't hearing and understanding him because they weren't believing what they were taught. And it's all based upon the words of God, not the food that he fed to their belly. Remember what we said yesterday? Jesus Christ was repeating to them when they started raising questions about the manna, what Moses said to them back there in the Old Testament. The reason for the manna was to prove them, so man would learn not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the words were proceeding out of the mouth of God Almighty through Jesus Christ, and they weren't believing. See, it takes the words of God in order for God to give them eternal life. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Notice how you're born again, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So the word of God is necessary in order for God to draw you. But you have to respond, or he won't give you eternal life. James chapter 1, verse 18. Of his own will, that's what Jesus said, This is my Father's will that has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. I'll raise him up at the last day. That's the will of God. James 1:18 says, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Even in the context, look at John chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The bread, or Jesus Christ's flesh, isn't going to do a thing for you. The Spirit quickeneth. By what does the Spirit quickeneth? Look what he says in verse 63. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. So you see what's going on? In our text that we're studying today, John chapter 6, verse 46, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Jesus had seen him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. That was the whole purpose of his preaching, his feeding, the whole thing, and they wouldn't believe. So how is the Father going to draw them? He's going to draw them by the preaching of the Word of God. You know what we're doing here? You know what we do on this broadcast called the Unknown Bible? We preach the Word of God. Why? Because God Almighty will use it to draw you. God Almighty will use it to give you to Jesus Christ when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. So that's why we preach the Word of God. So in summary then, when Jesus Christ had this group of men there, he preached the kingdom of God. But they didn't hear the preaching. They responded to the feeding of the 5,000. They had to believe what they were taught by God the Father through the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to have eternal life, because it's the words that give them eternal life. So how does the Father draw them? He draws them by the preaching of the Word of God. That's what he does. That's what he's going to continue to do, and that's how he does it. So if you've been drawn by the preaching today that you need to come to Christ, simply bow your head and by faith trust Jesus Christ the best way you know how to be your Savior. And he will save you. All that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's what he said in verse 37.
You have been listening to the Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.